Packers are 2-0, baby.
Back on That's top. Okay. Back they still top. Lost to the Raiders in the offseason, and that counts.
That counts.
In my heart. Like, I forgot, I didn't even notice that they played this year. And, like, in past years, we've made a cheesy bet about it.
Mm-hmm.
The preseason, because, like, the first time it was like, I was like, hey, you want to bet on the game? You're like, it's preseason. It doesn't count. I'm like, dude, just whatever team loses, that person has to buy the first round of beers the next time we meet up in person.
That's fair.
So I didn't make the bet, luckily for you, because the Packers lost again, because the Raiders are the greatest preseason team of all time.
They're not as good as the Ravens, though.
I don't know. Last year they went 4-0 in preseason and then went like 2-14. So they're pretty up there, or 4-12.
Yeah. Well, because I think like there's some weird stat, like the Ravens are undefeated for like the last 5 years in preseason or something. It's like an obscene like number. Like obviously it doesn't fucking matter because it's preseason, but it's just so weird.
It gives something for the Ravens fans to hang their head up on. Their hat on, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
it's like the Cleveland Browns fans have the Ohio State University to hang their hat on. But wait, Sean, before we go any further, I have an important question to ask. Is the record button pressed?
I'm pretty sure it is.
Okay.
Daniel. Oh yeah, it's good. We're good.
Good.
Not like We're last good? Week.
Not like last week. Good. Okay. So, did you hear? Real quick, did you hear that the Ohio State University lost its trademark attempt?
What? I did not hear about this.
Yes, they tried to trademark the for the Ohio State University. Yes.
Wait, how can you just, like, copyright the?
I don't know, maybe because it was all capitalized or something, but yeah. Well, they tried, and they lost. I mean, they're not like, it's not like they're George Lucas, you know, trademarking like every other word on the back of a Star Wars action figure. So, Sean, what are you drinking today?
I opened up the fridge and grabbed the first thing I could get my hands on because, per normal, I am running late to the recording session. Which seems to be like the norm at this point, right?
I mean, I wouldn't expect anything less. The only thing I would expect less is you to forget to push the record button, and apparently that's not beneath you either.
Nothing is beneath me. From Left Hand Brewing Company, the Nitro Milk Stout is what I'm drinking today, in honor of our Denver trip coming up shortly, very shortly.
Very shortly. So, you know what, Sean, next year, I think, you know, because we were trying to decide if we should do the Great American Beer Fest or the California Craft Brewers Association one. I think next year we need to do the California Craft Brewers Association one.
Oh, really?
I think you personally will enjoy it more.
God, what is that?
Because, like, through the week, it's, like, more like a brewer symposium. So, like, they have brewers there talking about how they went from being like home brewers to opening a brewery. They have like different clinics on how to detect and fix off flavors in beer and stuff like that.
Very nice.
And then it all culminates the Saturday after, on the Saturday, with a huge beer festival with pretty much every brewery in California there.
That is pretty impressive.
Yeah, so they have anybody, like this year they had people from like Firestone Walker giving speeches, you know, pretty much, and it's not like small little breweries where you have to like live local to know who they are. I mean, like I said, they have like Firestone Walker and the bigger ones coming down, Stone Brewing, they have been there in the past, so they get big names to come and talk to the, you know, press, the smaller breweries and home brewers.
Yeah, where is it at in California?
The last couple of years it was up in Fresno, it's normally in Fresno, but I think this year, and then next year it's going to be in Long Beach.
Oh, wow. Well, that's convenient.
Yes.
That's super convenient.
Yeah, especially considering there's some pretty – like this year on the Friday night, it just happened this last week actually. The Friday night from 7 to 11, they had a bus that just did loops between like five breweries in Long Beach from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. and it was free. So you can just jump on, go to the next brewery, jump off, get, drink, get back on, and rinse and repeat.
Getting shitty.
Pretty much, yes. Beach.
Woo!
Yes.
Too bad it wasn't, like, conveniently, like, the same week as... I guess it couldn't be the same week as Long Beach Comic Con.
No, it wouldn't be. Or the Long Beach Grand Prix. That would make it even more awkward.
Why is there a beer bus on the track?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, man, slow down, dude. I'm trying to cross the street to get to the next brewery.
Assholes, so, don't you see with the red light?
So, for your Nitro this time, I'm cutting you off.
It doesn't matter. I'm just making random remarks about, you know, slowing the Grand Prix down.
Slowing the Grand Prix down? Making it safer? I believe they've already slowed it down enough. They put things on the cars to make them go slower so the people don't die as often.
Well, at least they're thinking of the people.
And the drivers.
True.
Yeah, like, there's one track in Europe that they ended up, like, having to put chicanes in the straightaway on the back, because it used to be, like, 2 miles long of just a straightaway, and then until, like, cars would get airborne and fly into the grandstands.
You can only handle so many lawsuits before you do something.
Exactly. So now there's, like, a couple little, like, loops and things in where you have to slow down and make, like, just a little U-shaped turn and get back on the straightaway again.
Yeah. No, makes sense.
So you said you're drinking the Nitro Milk Stout. Is it able to be drunk out of the container, or are you just drinking out of the container because you're a monster, or did you pour it into a glass? You're drinking it out of the container because you're a monster. That is why I made sure to include that as an option, because I knew that would be the answer.
Step one, pour hard. Two, admire and enjoy. Are you coming on to me? Is this bottle coming on to me?
I feel uncomfortable.
I feel uncomfortably good.
Well, at least I didn't tell you to agitate it first before you poured it hard.
Exactly.
Usually you have to, like, give it a, like, little, like turn it upside down, or like a little, like, not like necessarily shake it, but just give it like a little quick shake or something, but not like you're trying to celebrate winning the Indianapolis 400 and pouring all over the champagne all over everybody. The 24 hours of whatever, Le Mans, yeah. Daytona.
Yeah.
You just kind of want to get the stuff on the bottom to the top and vice versa.
Exactly. So, to answer your question, I am being a monster, and I'm drinking it out of the bottle.
So, how is it, even though you're incorrectly not drinking it the right way?
I mean, it's as pleasant as... It's pleasant. I mean, I've had this milk stout before, so I wasn't disappointed, even because sometimes it's just nice to have a familiar buddy, like, come back on the show. You know what I mean?
Exactly. But I have one more question, Sean. Is it in your hand right now?
Yeah.
Which hand is it in?
It's in my right hand.
Oh, see? You can't even follow the simple directions, dude. It's for your left hand. You're supposed to pour it into a glass and drink it with your left hand.
I went to I went on a tour there, and there's no rule like that, Danny. So, I know you haven't been there before, but you act like you know everything about left hand, but you're wrong.
I've had their beers, and I know how to follow both written and unwritten rules as a fan of baseball. Wait, I'm not allowed to do that? Hey, man, I don't make the rules. Somebody, some imaginary person did and didn't write them down.
Yeah. I mean, the only rule you know is not to win in October, right?
As a Dodger fan, yes. Well, most of the time in October, we just got to lose one or two key games. So, Sean, I'm breaking a rule that I set for myself.
Oh, you're not drinking this show?
No, no, even worse.
What?
I'm double fisting it.
Oh boy. So what do you have going on? Is it one big glass that you have to hold with two hands, or are you drinking two different beers?
Drinking two different, well, it's the same beer, but two different vintages.
Oh, man. You.
I'm drinking.
You snobby bitch.
I am. I am drinking Goose County's Bourbon County, Goose Island's Bourbon County Stout. That's it. I'll get it right eventually. Goose Island. Yes.
Oh. You bastard. You're drinking man's beer.
I am.
Wow.
And there's a reason why. It'll make much more sense later in the book, but here's the thing. Later in the show. Here's the thing. This is the beer right here that basically made every other brewery realize that barrel aging beers was a viable option on a grand scheme. You wouldn't have like a Fundamental Observation, which is basically the grandchild of this beer from Bottle Logic, which then you wouldn't basically have Bottle Logic if you didn't have Fundamental Observation.
Gotcha.
It's the thing is, there's another IPA called Pliny the Elder, and it was basically it set the bar for IPAs for years, right?
Yes.
And now it's a lot easier. Before, like, it would hit the stores, and you would if you weren't there within a couple hours, it was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And now it kind of sits. It's almost what the cool kids refer to as a shelfie. I've been to La Bodega multiple times and had a chance to buy it. Now it's almost become like a principal issue where I'm just not even going to drink it.
You just want to keep it on your shelf to like, I do have this.
No, I didn't even buy it.
Oh, got you.
It's more a thing of people are like, yeah, have you tried this beer and this beer? I'm like, I can be like, yeah, how about this one? No, why not? Nah, I just don't want to. Just to aggravate and annoy people because that's my strong point. But here, and my point about that is over the years, like it's kind of we're saying that this beer isn't as good as it used to be. It's changed. Mm-hmm. And some people feel the same way about Bourbon County Stout, which outside of their 2015 year, which basically got infected and tasted like soy sauce.
Oh, that's gross.
yes. And, so and it's funny cause they did this huge recall on it. So basically like you could like, send back without proof that you bought the beer and they would give you your money back for it. But then people were like upset that they didn't get a chance. So then the second time you had to send in this little tag, like they have like a toe tag basically around the neck of the bottle that tells you what variant and what you have and what year you have.
Mm-hmm.
If you sent that in, you would get a refund. And so basically they sent out almost like three or four times more money than they sold in beer.
Wow.
Because the first time when they're like I said, you didn't need proof, they're like, yeah, craft beer drinkers are gonna be honest. They're not gonna try to rip us off. And meanwhile beer drinkers are like, let's show it to the sellouts.
take that.
The only issue I have with it is like especially after having FO, it's not quite as vanilla flavored.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little more subtle.
Yeah.
But the one thing I don't like about it is that it's smoky.
Mm-hmm.
Like they char the bourbon barrels before they put it in.
Oh, wow.
So it kind of has that smoky taste on the back end.
No, I know what you're talking about.
Right. But maybe your dad doesn't. Hi, Sean's dad. And that's my biggest complaint. It's not that they've lost a step in the brewing of it. It's more a thing of that everybody else has kind of stepped their game up and has changed the rules as far as brewing and stuff.
That is true. I think you see a lot of like barrel aged stuff with like, you know, they add fruit, you know, they add different sugars and different spices. Like, it's very easy to find some crazy barrel-aged stouts, porters, you know, now there's wine barrels out there for, and many other barrel types.
Brandy barrels.
Yeah.
Rum, tequila, and they're adding more,
maple
like...
Maple
syrup. I was going to say, yeah, they're adding more flavors to our, some beers are just coming out straight brownie batter with liquor in it.
Yeah.
Like one of the brewery that's close by to them, Three Floyds, they have their version of their all-star stout is Dark Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And they always come out with like three or four versions of it. And they have like a big festival at the facility the day of. And then there's Jay Wakefield the same way. This comes out every year on Black Friday.
Oh, nice.
And so it's cool because, like, most of the flavors are able are distributed. There's a couple, one bottle shop relatively close by me that I was at the other, last week, and they still had, like, three variants of it. La Bodega has two or three variants of it. Mm-hmm. But then they still do one variant in, like, a more expensive bourbon barrel.
Yeah.
That you can only get at the brewery or a bottle shop that's, like, right by the brewery in Chicago.
Wow.
So they kind of still want to, I guess, hold some special stuff for the locals.
Mm-hmm.
So they haven't completely sold out that way. But, yeah, I mean, it'd be good if I didn't mind the smoky taste.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not as bad as, like, you would expect something, as people feared when they sold out.
Mm-hmm.
Man, so there's this Instagram page I follow, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
And I highly recommend everybody following it, including you.
Oh, boy.
It's a worst beer blog. And so basically this guy just, you know, either he comes across or gets DM'd about just breweries either making them jackasses out of themselves as far as, like, their PR. Like, he was the one where I found out about the Angel City fiasco with the Dodgers. Breweries being racist or just stupid things that are just going on in the beer industry. And so he posted a couple things the last couple days about beer laws.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, I mean, every state has their stupid beer laws.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, you know, like in California for the longest time, if you couldn't take a growler from one brewery and get it filled at a different brewery, because for some reason that would be confusing to people.
That is true.
So, like, people would just, like, put tape over the other brewery's logo so it would just be a quote-unquote blank growler, even though it had tape on it. Or the brewery there, depending on the size of the logo, would put a sticker, their sticker over the other brewery's logo.
Yeah. The big thing about Jersey is the I think we talked about it, is, like, you have to do a tour. You have to understand, like, how the content is made before you drink. And then all the breweries have limited are only able to have a certain amount of events per year. So, like, having food trucks and celebrations, like, they're only allowed to have, like, so many.
And it's, well, I mean, even in California, they're only allowed so many events because there's something coming up and somebody asked on Instagram, asked Bottle Logic if they're going to have an event for it, and they said that they're all out of events for the year.
Can you believe that? Maybe they have others already planned this year that they're, but they're probably
having. Well, they have like ones. An Oktoberfest one coming up next weekend,
mm-hmm.
which probably be over by the time you release this, depending on if you release it Friday or Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the 21st and 22nd that weekend. They're having an Oktoberfest, but I think that's their last event for the year.
Okay, gotcha.
So, yeah, but it's funny because, like I said, people talk shit. It's like, oh, your beer laws suck. And it's like, yeah, but you have bad beer laws, too.
Everybody has some weird laws.
So, in Utah, one of the things that people would do to get around, like, the laws of getting a liquor license would be to open either, like, a karaoke place or a axe-throwing place.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, it'd be easier to get a liquor license or a beer license if you had events or activities for people to do besides drinking.
Gotcha.
And so they changed this law, and, like, one of the things they changed in it was that basically karaoke and axe throwing isn't enough of a unique event to qualify as being an event.
Wow. Poor axe throwers and karaoke.
Right. And then, this one is, like, the funny one. Like, if you're drinking at a facility, you have to be sitting down.
Yeah, that one is pretty funny.
I mean, is it a thing because they don't want, like, they think breweries are just going to pack people in asses and elbows and everyone has to stand? Is it a liability thing? Like, they think someone drunk is just going to fall down or get into a fight? Like, if they're sitting down, they'll be less likely to get into a fight? Or, I mean, it's not like Utah, you can get that drunk anyways because you're only drinking, like, 4.5% or 5% beer anyways.
Yeah, and it's not like there's a ton of people looking to get shit-faced.
Right. And so I was just thinking, I'm like, so if you go to a brewery and there's no place that's crowded and they're all out of seats, do they have, like, folding chairs, or can I bring a camping chair in and sit down? Does that count?
That's a good point.
It's like, I'm sorry, we're crowded. We have to wait till people leave a seat. It's like, oh, I have my own. Oh, come on in. We have room for BYOSs. Bring your own seats.
Stick it to the man. Bring your own seat.
Right. And then another one he posted was, in Alaska, you're only allowed to get pours of up to 36 ounces at any brewery per day.
But you could go to, like, the bar across the street and get, like, super shit-faced.
Yes.
Like, you get 30 beers.
Right, and then reading about that, it had more to do with, it was very similar dichotomy with the whole, in New York, with the taxi license versus becoming an Uber. Mm-hmm. Because they only, like, the way the law was worded, they would only issue so many liquor licenses mm-hmm. per, like, city or town. And once they were used up, you couldn't get any more. You had to be on a waiting list till someone either, like, lost it, or you could try to, like, buy one from somebody. Mm-hmm. But generally, like, the liquor licenses were going for, like, $250,000.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
And so both the city didn't want to lose that money, really, and people who had bought their liquor license thought it was unfair that somebody else could kind of come in and be like, wait a minute, why didn't they have to pay as much as we did? What's happened with the taxi licenses? For the longest time, people were paying like $500,000 to $1 million for a taxi license mm-hmm. in New York. And then Uber comes along, and then all of a sudden, like, those prices drop down to like $40,000 or even lower. Wow. And people are like, well, that's not fair. And it's like, well, no, it's not fair. You got screwed. Now we're fixing that. Now it's being fixed.
Yeah.
You know? But then the other thing was that you could buy beer to go, too. So you could drink your 36 ounces and then either get growlers or cans and still take it to go and get shit-faced somewhere else off-site. Like your car. But then the other thing was, you weren't like, no games or music is allowed to be played at a brewery either.
Yeah, that part is very weird.
So, like, a lot of breweries bring in bands, like, especially, like, Sunday afternoons or slower days, mm-hmm. or even, like, Friday nights just to, like, because they have to compete. Or they have board games, or, like, my wife and I always carry the card game Flux. I always carry that with me at all times. And so I guess we'd be breaking the law if we pulled it out and started playing to kill time.
Yeah, no, Flux is a very easy and fun game to play. I know we've talked about it before.
I highly recommend it. It's a lot of fun. But yeah, but I mean, I don't want to like break any, I don't want to get arrested for playing a card game at a brewery or make them lose their liquor license because
you're kicked out.
Yes, because they don't want to lose their license that they had to bribe somebody to get. So, Sean, the reason why I'm drinking the Goose Island beers,
why?
Is because I actually finished reading a book that I've been like taking too long to read. I actually started it when I went on vacation in April and then like put it away for a while, and then I was gonna talk about it when I finished it, and as I was making the itinerary, I looked, I'm like, all right, I only have 10 pages left. It looked like I had more because his acknowledgments are like 20 pages, and then it's basically set up to where you can almost use his book at like a school because he has all his references, all the books he used. Mm-hmm. He has a huge index and glossary of terms and stuff back there. Like it's written like a school book, but the name of the book is Barrel Aged Stout and the Art of Selling Out.
Nice.
The author is, his name is Lou Bryson. He's he started off as like a food and beer writer for one of the Chicago papers. And basically he kind of talks about it starts off him talking about the founding of Goose Island, about the, you know, how he came up with the idea on an airplane and, you know, him and his son would travel, you know, like they would travel and stuff and try beers in different countries and come back here and just be like, wait, the beers here suck. And so they decided to open a brewery and they were like really popular, to the point where like, as they started trying to expand into states around Illinois, mm-hmm. Their salespeople would sell beer and place orders at bars and stuff, and then they would put it back into the, you know, to the brewery, and they would get told, I'm sorry, we can't give you any beers because we barely have enough to fill the needs of Chicago and our tap room, and we're gonna take care of Chicago and then the state of Illinois and then states outside of Illinois first. Mm-hmm. That's our priority. And so these
makes sense.
Salespeople would make these huge sales and think, yeah, dude, I'm getting this awesome commission, and get told, nope, sorry, no beer. And so originally they sold a small percentage, like 30%, basically to help get them the capital they needed to increase production so that they could meet the needs of even just like the Midwest states. And then the book kind of talked about InBev and from like what kind of led up to them before they bought Goose Island, about the whole like mocking craft beer and then trying to like get into the craft beer market. It's really well written. It doesn't like necessarily paint InBev as evil. Mm-hmm. It just paints them as what they are, a corporation that just wants to make a profit. You know, he gets a lot of internal memos, a lot of stuff, inside stuff. He gets quotes from a lot of breweries that were close to Goose Island, and people have, you know, either been offered deals or have since sold out to InBev. Like leading up to like the Wicked Weed was like the last one pretty much that sold before he finished the book, mm-hmm. which was like at the time people thought would be the last one, and they've kind of started dumping some beer breweries, like mostly overseas. But it's a really interesting read, especially if you're want to like read if you're into history. Mm-hmm. It's well written. Doesn't make like the guys at Goose Island, it doesn't make them like show them to be greedy. Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. It's just, I highly recommend a read.
Okay.
Read a book. Barrel Aged Stout and the Art of Selling Out.
It's in a book. Reading Rainbow.
Exactly. The more you know. Rainbow. So, one day I was just lying here, kind of looking around YouTube, seeing what they recommended. And in my recommendations, there was this music video for this band called Ginger, J-I-N-J-E-R. See, did you watch the video, Sean?
I did. I think I made it 75% through. Like, I was, like, telling my girlfriend, like, I was like, is this Ginger? Like, J-I-N-J-E-R? It was like, I think so. Okay, Ginger with J's. We'll just go with that, but I'm glad that you confirmed it.
Well, they're Ukrainian.
Mm. Gotcha.
But it's like, it's a metal band with everybody in the band is male except the vocalist.
Mm-hmm.
Who, Sean, what did you, what's that?
I said you were like, everybody in the band is male, but you said the vocalist is, and I was like, it's a cat.
Well, it could still be a male cat.
I guess so.
There's boy cats too, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's a female. Sean, what did you think of her singing?
I thought her voice was nice. I like the I did like the song. I'm just not very big into screamo shit, so like I was kind of like when she started screaming, I'm like, the fuck is going on? I'm like why? I was like I'm not even surprised Danny sent this. And then my girlfriend was like, so what guy's screaming in the song? I'm like, it's not a guy that's screaming. And I, like, showed her the video. I was like, no, it's her. She went from singing to screaming.
Right, and that's the thing, is, like, you know, she has, like, a really, like, almost operatic voice, like, very classical, you know, a lot of range. She can sing, like really, like, the lows and some mids and stuff. And then, like, especially this song that I sent you, Pisces, mm-hmm. like, the guitar starts kind of getting distorted and it gets a little bit, and then she just starts screaming. And, you know, when I showed my wife the video, she was the same thing. She's like, so is that like the guitarist screaming? And I'm like, no, that's her. And she's like, holy shit, it is her. They're releasing a new album like in a couple weeks. The first single dropped. I'm not saying this in a bad way. I mean, it's more of the same stuff where her voice is really good. The band technically proficient. They're playing a show out here in LA, and I didn't find out about them until the show had sold out.
Oh wow, that sucks.
And I looked to buy, maybe I could, you know, because with the interwebs, nothing's ever sold out.
Correct.
Except nothing's ever sold out. But what is the price you're willing to pay? Right, yeah. Is always the second question.
Exactly.
So I looked, and there was only two tickets up for grabs by one seller. He wanted $245 a piece for them.
Wow. Are they the headliner?
Yes. It's a small place. I think it's the Whiskey where we saw MC Chris at the Anime Expo a couple years ago.
Oh, got you. Dang, that is expensive.
Yes.
That's really fucking expensive.
Well, I think that's why it's expensive, because it's a small venue. Like, you can basically, like no matter where you're standing, you're almost on top of the band, versus, like, going to see them at, like, the Staples Center or something like that, a huge stadium venue.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I would like to see them live. I'm definitely into their music. They're not necessarily, I don't know if, like, Screamo, Screamo's more punk emo.
That's true. I used the wrong term, but there is screaming.
There is, like, it's like metal.
Metal screams. Death
metal. Metal screams as opposed to emo screams. Yeah, there's less screaming about cutting themselves and more screaming about cutting you. I guess that's the difference. I don't know.
You're not wrong. Quotes by Danny.
Exactly. I think that'll be the quote of this episode.
Screamo's them about cutting themselves. Metal's about cutting you.
So, speaking of metal or new metal, Tool finally dropped their first album a couple weeks ago after a 13-year hiatus of not releasing albums, Sean.
Wow. It was 13 years?
13 years.
So,
I mean, not exactly, but pretty close.
So 2006?
Pretty much, yes.
Oh, damn.
Like, beginning of 2006, yes.
Hot damn.
So, I was actually kind of surprised when the album dropped that more people weren't, like, finding reasons to bitch about it. The only real complaint I heard about was the guy I work with that said it sounds like their old stuff. And it's like, well, yeah, I mean, it's not going to sound hugely different, but, I mean, it's not exactly the same. It's more mellow than, like, their first album. Because he was like, yeah, I listened to their first album. It was amazing. And I'm like, yeah, that was when they were, like, young and angry.
This guy's rich. All their songs are pretty much. What is he bitching about?
Yes.
What is he? Right. What does he have to be angry about?
The drummer's
taxes.
The drummer's 60 years old.
Oh, damn! The sun didn't grow my grapes right.
No, that's what Pussifer's about.
Fair enough.
Dude, for Danny Carey to be 60 years old, and that was one of his complaints. He's like, the drummer's doing too much. And I'm like, dude, he's 60. Like, just cut him some slack, man.
The drummer was doing too much?
Yeah, that's what he said. And I'm like, have you not, like, you claim to listen to Tool, but you think the drummer's doing too much.
Isn't that every Tool song? Really a Tool fan?
I don't know, man. But the cool thing about it was, the Friday before the album released, they have finally, after, you know, however many years, joined the modern era and put all of their previous albums up on every streaming service.
Oh, really?
Yes. So, and the new album is up there, too. So you can now, like, if you have Spotify or anything like that, you can actually listen to Tool.
Nice. I'm super excited about that.
So it was funny because, like when they did the next charts of, like, the top streamed songs on Spotify, every Tool album was in the top 10 or top 5 even.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense, like, though.
Right. But it's like, don't you own these albums? Haven't you heard them before? Like,
I do love these albums, but it's so much easier to listen to them when they're on a streaming service.
Yes. So they also announced a tour date. They announced tour dates. There it is. When the album dropped. So this is why I don't do two beers at the same time.
Did the tickets go on sale already or not yet?
The tickets, long time ago. Yeah, they went on sale. Yes, I'm going to see them. They're doing two shows in L.A. because L.A. is that special, October 20th and 21st.
Nice.
Unfortunately, I was we were trying to go to get tickets to the show on the 20th because that's a Sunday. Even though it is a school night, it's not as bad as going on a Monday night. We can deal with less traffic, I guess, in L.A.
Yeah.
So, but we're going to the show on the 21st at the Staples Center.
Who? You and?
The guy that was my best man.
Gotcha.
Scott. Michael Foreman.
Gotcha.
Scotty doesn't know.
Don't tell Scotty.
No, he doesn't know because he doesn't listen to this. You've met Scotty.
I have. We had a beer at
Packing House.
Packing House, that brewery. place in Riverside, by the Riverside Airport.
Yes.
Where you, but, see where you could see the Cal Baptist airplane. Because why does a university need an airplane?
Well, why do you think it's the most expensive private university in California, pretty much? Or like the top three?
I mean, how else are you going to afford a plane? Your personal charter plane?
And for the longest time, that was our landmark to get to the brewery because they didn't have any signs up. But they've officially put signs up, so you don't need the Cal Baptist turn point. you can still use it, but it's in addition to the signs on the brewery.
Yeah, one of the best red ales you'll ever have, Packing House Brewery.
Yes. And actually, that was brewed by, I can't remember, think of his last name. His first guy's first name is Matt. And he started brewing at the brewery, then he went to Packing House, then he went to last name, and then he moved to back east somewhere.
Oh, boy.
And he used to be part of the podcast, The Four Brewers.
Oh, God.
And then they went down to three brewers, and then they ended up getting this guy. His name is Kyle Roderick, who was a part of Untapped.
Oh, nice.
And then he started their Untapped podcast called Drinking Socially. And then him and the co-founder, one of the co-founders of, one of the co-founders of Untapped, were doing that. And then the co-founder decided he didn't want to do podcasts anymore. And then they handed it off to two guys that are in North Carolina.
Nice.
So, Untapped is doing their seven cities tour.
Yes.
Last time they did it, they did seven cities in 7 days.
Yes.
And the guy said that it almost killed him. So this time they're spreading it out longer.
So he was literally, like, jumping on planes, like, at the end of the night to, like, go fly to the next place or, the first flight of the day. Jeez,
yes.
Terrible.
Yeah, so he went from, last time he was in Anaheim, and then from Anaheim he flew to Portland.
Wow.
The next day to be there in time to be, like, at a noon or whatever time the... So this Saturday was the first date, and they were at Ballast Point in San Diego.
They were at Ballast Point?
Yes.
Fuck them.
Exactly. But I think that was the one. I think they go to the brewery. They go to the city that has the most check-ins.
Yeah.
And then they go to the brewery that had the most check-ins in that city. So it's not necessarily their fault that people are drink garbage beer.
That's fair.
But we're going to try to go see them in October at Great American Beer Fest week.
Got you. What day is that event? Is that on Tuesday? Wednesday?
Yeah, it's a Tuesday we land in.
Got you.
And then another podcast I listened to, they announced a show the Friday night. And they did they have a VIP bottle share before they do their live podcast that they just bring like bottles that if you wanted to buy on the secondhand market would cost you like $500 to $1,000.
Wow.
And then it sold out in like a couple hours, the VIP did, and then the show sold out in less than a day. So I guess I didn't even get a chance to like ask you about it
because it was sold out.
It sold out so fast. Yes, I should have just bought tickets and told you, oh, by the way, we're doing this.
Fair enough. I mean, are we gonna have time to do like go to Denver breweries?
That's what Wednesday and Thursday are for.
Okay, that makes sense. There's been a lot of requests to go back to Left Hand, just saying.
Okay, the only one that I really want to go to is, there's two, but one I'm okay not going to, but the one I want to go to in Denver is Black Project.
Gotcha. Is that the sour place?
Yes.
I've overcame my sour hangover, so I'm back. I'm back, baby. Well,
especially by then. And then the other one is another sour place, but it's further away in Greeley called Wiley Roots. So I'm okay not going to that one because that's a little bit of a trek.
So my question for you is... Are we going to Great Divide or have they been removed as one of your favorite top breweries?
That's not as high a priority for me. If we go there, we go there, but that's not the only two. Like I said, Wiley Roots and Black Project.
You've changed, Danny. The Danny I know 3-5 years ago would be kicking your ass right now.
Yeah, especially because he was in better shape and less drunk.
He had less beard, though.
Yes. Actually, no, I'm not the same, because I've been keeping it clean.
Nice. Fair enough.
Because once it would like started growing where it was like going into my mouth when I tried to sleep, I decided that I had to die.
Gotcha.
So, you know, earlier we mentioned the guy that was my best man, Scott Michael Foreman.
Yes.
A couple weeks ago, he hit me up late Friday night. And by late for me, it was like 8 or 9 o'clock.
Yes.
He hit me up. He was like, hey, what are you doing tomorrow? Basically, it was, I have free tickets. I have, well, not free tickets, but I have an extra ticket because somebody bailed to go see the Daydream in Pasadena show.
Mm-hmm.
Which basically was The Cure headlining.
Yeah.
With the Deftones, Throwing Muses, Pixies, a bunch of other old bands.
Isn't Pixies? No. What's that random band that you really like?
Primus?
Yeah, Primus. I always mix it up. My bad.
Yes. Yeah, I was going to say Primus isn't that random anymore. But anyway, so he hit me up. He was like, yeah, it's in the VIP. And I looked, and it was like $300 ticket. And he's like, it's yours if you want it. You just got to drive. And I'm like, all right, let's go.
Fair enough, right?
Yes.
All I got to do is drive? Okay.
And I ended up buying – we ended up stopping at Eagle Rock Brewing's restaurant, the Eagle Rock Public House.
Yeah.
Which the food wasn't bad, but it was super like gentrified, I guess, for the lack of, I don't know. I can't, but it was like, one of it was like biscuits and like ham. So mm-hmm. It was just like four biscuits and like some prosciutto. It wasn't even real ham and some like mustard sauce.
Yeah.
And it was like $18 for that.
Wow.
Yes.
Terrible. Just terrible.
So, but the beer was good. I mean, the food was good. It was just, it's not like a place you want to go to eat lunch.
No,
except for like, but it was weird because like, well, they're like small plates were like small and expensive, but then their burgers were like the size of your head,
mm-hmm.
and for the same price.
Yeah.
But then we got to the show, and you know, I mean, it's at the Rose Bowl kind adjacent, I guess. They have a golf course there.
Mm-hmm.
So we get to the VIP area, and it's further away from the stage than the normal viewing area.
Okay.
But at least we're separated from the peasants. So we can, like, see the main stage, but we have to leave there to go to the side stage. It was funny because they said you could bring in chairs,
mm-hmm.
but then they weren't allowed in the VIP area. they were pretty laid back as far as the rules go. Like, you could bring in water bottles, just not, like, the metal ones, but, like, the clear ones, plastic ones or whatever, reusable. And they had water stations everywhere. But then the next week, I ended up going to the OC Brouhaha.
Yeah.
And it was basically a beer festival / ska concert.
Mm-hmm.
And their rules were fucking confusing. And then they didn't enforce any of them.
Oh, fantastic.
Like they said, you could bring in like gum. And like chapstick, as long as they were sealed, but you're allowed to bring in makeup. And it's like, how is chapstick different than makeup? Like, I can bring in lipstick, but I can't bring in chapstick.
I guess
they said you couldn't bring in chairs, but then they didn't say anything about blankets. So a bunch of people brought in blankets. But it was pretty cool. Like they had a lot of like, some local breweries that were like harder that I've been wanting to hit up, but then they had like Cigar City, Great Divide was there.
Dude, Cigar City is supposed to be, like, this really big place, but I've never been, like, overly impressed with the beer that I've had.
It's like a hype brewery, basically, is what you're saying?
To me, it is.
Yeah, I can't remember what I had, because when we went up there, they had put up their signs to what beers they had, because they just, they said that their stuff showed up, like, 10 minutes before they let people in, so they're still in the process of setting up.
Fair enough.
But one of the places, one of the beers that I was, and it wasn't even a beer that I was really impressed with, was the Honey Pot Meadery.
Mm-hmm.
They had a mead that was for VIP only.
Yes.
That was pretty amazing. Like, my wife, like, I got her the DD ticket, and she was, like, paranoid because she didn't want to try any of the beers because she thought she'd get in trouble. But they also gave her a glass, even though she wasn't supposed to get one necessarily. And she was going to, like, give it back, and I was like,
take the glass.
And the lady was like, no, you get one too. Like the lady was just, Jody was, they were arguing with each other over whether or not she got a glass or not. I'm like, let's just go. We're holding up the line. But it was like the bands that played, the Scott Pesh Mode played.
Mm-hmm.
I love Scott Pesh Mode. Yeah, they're amazing. Safe Ferris was, near the end, it got to like the main bands were like Safe Ferris, Voodoo Glow Skulls, and the Aquabats were like the last three.
I haven't heard of Voodoo Glow Schools in a long time.
I know, man. Dude, I got struck with the case of the nostalgias, and I ended up like taking I wore a kilt that day.
Oh, I bet you did.
And we're bringing it to Great American Beer Fest.
I bet you are.
And so I ended up taking everything out. I had like clip like pockets that like snap on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took them off and I ended up jumping in the mosh pit for a couple songs.
Nice.
I hadn't done that for years. Just a bunch of old people like me jumping, running around in the mosh pit.
You didn't pull anything, did you?
No, because we're all old and wanted to be respectful to each other.
You just like run over and go high five them.
Pretty much, yes. But then, like, for the most part, people behaved because, I mean, granted, although it was a beer festival, it was also a concert. Mm-hmm. But it was fun, like, trying to go to the bathrooms near the end of the show. Like, I went between Safe Ferris and the Aquabats, and there was, like, a couple of ladies that couldn't handle their liquor were, like, hanging over the porta-potty sinks that they have.
Oh, that's gross.
Right. They weren't throwing up, but they were just kind of, like, using them to lean on. I think they were probably throwing up in the porta-potties, which is even worse for them.
Yeah.
And you could see people leaving.
I want to put my head.
No, you could see people leaving because their friends got too drunk. There was like, they're doing the fireman carry where there was like two sober people on each side and a drunk person being drugged in the middle. But yeah, my wife was like pissed because like she looked over and there was a people with like sitting next to her that had a backpack and they had like a big old thing of gum and this and that. And she's like, that's not fair. They didn't, you know, follow the rules.
They just didn't get caught.
Well, because they didn't they had a clear backpack. You could see it through the backpack. That's how lame security was. But then there was this guy. He's a, I don't know. He's like a on Instagram, but he goes by the Instagram handle Brewery-fornia. He had a bunch of stickers and shirts made up, and he was able to get them in, even though they said like no propaganda or stickers are allowed in to be handed out.
No propaganda.
Pretty much, yeah. No promotional materials.
Mm-hmm.
Which is funny because he made it in with the backpack full of stuff. And so I ended up getting a shirt and a couple of stickers from him.
Mm-hmm.
But then later on, like four girls came in wearing like Lederhosen, like Oktoberfest outfits, handing out flyers for an Oktoberfest. So I guess, yes. But, and then people were like, yeah, that place, where it was, they're like, that place sucks. It's going to take you forever to get out. And we just got in our car and drove away. So I think the location scared people away or. Just people, a bunch of people left after the breweries closed up. Because the crowd, like, spent. It was, like, half the crowd just for the Aquabats show. And even then, as they were playing, people were, like, leaving.
Wow.
And Jody asked me, she was like, do you think the band, like, feels bad when they see people leaving? And I'm like, I think they might be used to it, especially at all-day festival things. And then, sure enough, like, after that song, MC Bat Commander was like, see all these people leaving? They're not real Aquabat fans because Aquabat fans don't get tired. They stay for the whole show.
I appreciate that he was calling people out. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, dude. He threw them under the bus.
Womp womp.
So you've been playing a new mobile game, Sean.
So I was looking for something to do, Danny, and I saw the logo for the Skyrim, and I was kind of like, this is probably some knockoff shit, because if you go on the mobile network, it always is. But it's actually a real game from Bethesda. So for the makers of the Elder Scroll games, such as Skyrim and Morrowind and Oblivion, and then of the Fallout series. So I remember they did announce the game. Was it this past E3, or was it E3 last year? That they announced the mobile game.
I'm probably, yes.
Probably this year.
I'm going to say, yeah, I'm sure, one of the two.
Okay, because it's in early access standpoints. So I clicked, so I was like, okay, it's a free game. I'll play it. So I'm still playing the game, but you could definitely tell, like, it has like all the themes that you would want, and there's like a story, but it definitely plays like a mobile game. So there's like, you know, you gather material and then you can create armor and potions and stuff. But like, you know, it takes time, or you get paid for jewels to like speed it up. The nice thing is, though, is there's no like immediate barriers on like, hey, you can't like you have to wait X amount of time to play the game. Like, jobs just, there's like always like four jobs that you can get and you could keep playing. So, so that part's pretty cool. Now, there are some, like, you can't be like a sneaky mage, and you can only use, like, you could use spells and you could use weapons, but you can't use like a bow and arrow. So they do have it, like, it is a bit dumbed down in that aspect. So you have to keep that in mind. The other thing that that really irks me right now is that, like, the rewards don't match like the difficulty of the job or mission. Like right now, like I'll get like a job that's like 4 out of 5 skulls, but like it'll give you a free armor piece, and the armor is like 2 levels below what I'm wearing. Like, why would I want to do that mission? You know what I'm saying?
Right. The carrot dangling at the end of that trick isn't worth the running for it.
No, so that part kind of sucks. So you have to, like, level up the town to get, like, to get stuff in the town. And then you could level up, like, the armory, so that way you could build better equipment. So I'm like, okay, that makes sense. It's not that bad. The thing that, like, that kind of sucks, too, is, like, the chest. So, like, a silver chest takes, like, an hour to open. But, like, that's, like, one of the most plentiful chests that you get. And you can only hold so many chests before you run out of space. So, like, it'll be literally, like, you'll play the game. You'll just turn it on, like, every hour or so just to open the chest and, like, and to start opening the next one. And then you'll close the game because, obviously, you don't have time. You have other stuff you probably want to do. But it's – that part is kind of – is kind of irritating, that whole system, because, like, then the gold chest takes, like, 6 hours. So if I have a gold chest, like, I have to open it, like, when I go to bed, so that way when I get up in the morning, it's, like, had enough time. But it's just kind of irritating that, because that's a lot of your rewards from these jobs and stuff are the chests, or you're going to have to pay your gems to, like, unlock it, which kind of sucks. So
right, but, so they don't put a, they don't put a, like, an actual physical barrier to playing the game, but they do definitely have, like, soft barriers.
Mm-hmm.
So you can either, like, wait or pay, basically.
Yeah, because basically you buy green jewels, and then you can spend them on what you want. Because there's, like, ultra chests and stuff, and I think there's, like, an ultra chest. Like, it's on sale right now. And if you bought gems, it would cost you $10 to get this ultimate chest. Like, so you're just like, do I really want the gold chest? Because, like, what do you do? What are you going to give me, like, an ultra, like, shitty piece of armor? Because, like, basically, like, you could have armor and weapons, and then if you temper them and make them stronger, that's what changes them from being, like a blue weapon to like a purple weapon. You know, they have a bunch of different levels in between, but it's just like, I don't really want to spend, I'm not going to pay $10 and I'm going to get like a shitty ass, like, I don't need like a leather, an ultimate leather helmet. Like when I'm wearing orcish armor right now, like that doesn't help me.
Right. And you and I both are the kind of people that will give you money if A, we like your game, or B, you make it worth our investment.
Yeah. So that part kind of sucks. The combat's a little wonky. So you basically, it's very much of the same where you have spells, that buttons that you push on the left, and then you could have like swinging motion, like attack motions. But basically what all you do is like you click on the screen and then that's where you move to, and then when you're in combat, you, like, hold the shield, and you'll block. So you could do a two-handed weapon and block with that, or do a sword and a shield, or, an axe and a shield. And they each, like, weapon between a mace, sword, and stuff, they do different types of damage. So there's, like, slash, bashing, and something else. So, like, there's different, and then all your enemies have, like, different weaknesses as well. It's kind of funny because the enemies have, like, different weaknesses in this game versus, like, Skyrim, because there's more limited constraints here. So that part's pretty funny as well.
So they do, like, a rock, paper, scissors type system where, like, one thing is weak against one but strong against another?
Not too much. I mean, and the enemies have, like, certain weaknesses that you could change your loadout to, so, like, there is a bit of that, but it's not overly emphasized.
And also, I was going to call you out on your mispronunciation of combat.
I know.
But I realized I was in no place to do that for this episode.
I did correct it. I was like, I definitely screwed it up, and then Drake came back with a solid combat.
Right, no. I understand you corrected it, but I was going to correct you, but then, call you out for your mistake. But like I said, I've made far more mistakes this episode.
You damn rookie.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, it's a free game. So.
And it's in early access, so, it's not going to be, perfect, but you're basically playing a free game that you get to beta test.
Yeah. So I've had fun playing it. I like, there is a story.
So is it like RPG type?
Yeah, you actually do get to pick and level up your abilities and magic that you want to. So there is a good solid aspect on the RPG. You still get to create your character, so you can pick any of the, what is the word I'm thinking of?
Abilities?
Like race. So, like, if you want to be an orc or an elf or a human, and then if based off what you pick, you get certain abilities, like bonus points on certain things. So that part's pretty cool. So the customization is there. I haven't figured out how to make, like, colored armor or anything like that, but I just got the enchanting tower, so now I could, like, add certain bonuses to my armors and stuff, which will be pretty cool as well. So
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, so there's just a lot of good RPG mechanics about it, but you are still playing a mobile game, and it does have those mobile, like, trigger points that get irritating.
Is the combat like turn-based, or is it like old Final Fantasy or new Final Fantasy, basically?
It's not turn-based. It's like a It's action oriented. So basically, you got to read what they're gonna do, and then, like, they'll block you. So you have to be careful of what attacks you do, based off what the enemy does. So you could be very offensive, but you got to make sure you have the right perks to get through blocking. Or you could be a little bit more defensive. It seems like you have different ways on going. You just can't sneak around and, like, kill people, like, from a sneak position, like if you were playing any of the traditional Elder Scroll games. So it seems like you really have to be, like, a warrior or a mage or, like, a hybrid.
Okay. So, I mean, granted, from what you said, it's free, so it's definitely worth the price to at least try it.
Yeah, I think if you are interested in an easy RPG and, I don't think it's, like, a very hard game to play. It does get irritating trying to get through the story because, like, I've upgraded my armor and my sword, and, like, the story missions are still, like, 5 stars. So I'm just like, is this, like, I don't really want to, like, it's very hard to progress on the story, and I'm, like, trying to level up to do the story, but it's just kind of irritating because I don't know if I'm going to be able to. Or if it's just, like, if that's how I'm just going to have to suck it up and go in there with 5 stars and try to get my ass kicked.
So the game is just called Blades?
Correct.
Which is funny because you would think somebody years ago would have thrown some shitty-ass game together just to claim the cool-ass name of Blades.
That is true. But basically, the story is the Thalmor, which is a group of high elves that basically almost conquered the Empire, are looking for the old blades, and the blades used to protect the Emperor. So now they are, like, wanted enemies of the Empire, ironically. So, and it sounds like you were at one point a blade, so... And the one of the guys in town that you know was a blade, and you end up finding out the Thalmor are, like, looking for him. And then there's, like, some evil monster that's also making a ruck. So there's a couple different storylines going on that you get to play.
Sounds like fun. I might check it out. I don't know. I'm playing the same mobile game forever, the Idle Miner. But that's just because that feeds more into my OCD than actually having to, like, do anything.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Oh, man. So, Sean, I didn't tell you just because I'm not, like, I don't like to, like, necessarily talk about things before it happens because I don't want to jinx it.
Yeah.
But I recently guested on another podcast.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did it kick you out?
Not yet. And surprisingly, it's on the same network. Oh, shit, I forgot to warn Berto that he's going to lose his job. Because I've been on three podcasts, and Movies Made Me with Cheryl Jones, she lost her job. Geeks Say What, with three hosts, JPG, Alex, and Cole, and JPG lost his job. And then Geek Offensive with Justin Mallari, and he lost his job.
Oh, boy. Yeah, you're a bad omen. Like, I don't know why people are allowing you to be on their shows.
I don't know. But on the plus side, though, like, their podcast, like, network has, like, expanded. Like, Cheryl Jones, like, signed up a partnership with this podcast network called Dragon Wagon.
Mm-hmm.
And JPG with the Geek Say What Network, they've launched, like, three more podcasts since I was on the show.
Nice.
And this is the fourth one that's going to come out soon. I don't know when my show is going to air because I'm episode 10.
Yes.
And they haven't started releasing the podcast yet, but they're going to release, like, three at once and then from there. So I'll put it on the social medias, but the name of the podcast is Pencil Neck Geeks or PNG Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it's a wrestling podcast.
I am not even surprised.
And so...
Where did you meet this individual at the show?
Well, it's a spinoff of the Geek Offensive with Justin...
Gotcha.
Mallari that yes. I was on before. But so they would have, he would do, every once in a while he would do wrestling episodes, but he figured he was doing enough wrestling episodes that they decided to make a separate wrestling podcast.
Okay. Nice.
And so, I'll post it on the social medias as it gets closer, but basically what they wanted me to do was, do a beer pairing with wrestlers.
So every beer, you had to compare beers and how they were like a wrestler?
Pretty much, yeah. So I brought in three beers, which you'll have to, I'm gonna tease because you have to listen. I'll make you listen to the episode if you want to hear it, Sean's dad.
You wasn't talking to me because I don't listen to any of that shit.
You support me as much as my the guy that was my best man, Scott Michael Foreman. But yeah, so we ended with Stone Cold's collaboration with El Segundo, the Skullbreaker IPA.
Nice. Good times.
Yeah, so, times. But yeah, I'll keep that posted on the social medias when that happens.
Fair enough.
Speaking of which, follow us on all the social medias, the Instagrams, the Facebooks. Give us 5-star reviews on the Apple Podcast, the Google Podcast, the Stitchers, the iHeartRadios. Are we not on iHeartRadio yet, are we, Sean?
I don't know. They probably listened to our shit and said, nope.
Probably.
I did apply. I guess they just said, nope.
Long-haired hippie people need not apply.
you have beards and waifu pillows and Avengers dildos. I don't think we need to have you on our station.
Or waifu pillow and fleshlight combinations.
Exactly.
Give us go ahead and give us 5 stars reviews on the Apple Podcast or the Google Podcast, because apparently the more 5 stars you get, the more they're willing to force us down other people's gullets.
Exactly.
Check us out on the Untapped. Check me out. I'm a I'm the official podcast Untapped under Sir Hoppyhead.
And you can follow me at Dr. Doom 2828.
All right, everybody.
See what I'm drinking.
Exactly. See you next week, everybody.
We'll see ya.